Well, good morning, everyone, again. Welcome to church. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe. Be encouraged. This morning is a service of the Lord's Supper. It's a time when we remember not only the love God has shown to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the love we ought to have for one another. Though unable to meet face to face, we can still remember from our homes online without bread and without wine. However, if you choose to, and it helps you to remember, you can set aside a piece of bread and grape juice or wine to take at the appropriate time in the service. If this is your choice and have not done so already, just pause the service now and provide some for yourself and whoever may be with you from your household. Today, helping me in the service are Janice and Rosemary. Janice will read the Bible readings and Rosemary will lead us in prayer. We continue our Bible teaching time through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai, thinking about what it means to have a new beginning with God, learning from God and his people in the past. Our mission focus for August is on the ministry to refugees, being very mindful of the situation unfolding in Afghanistan and the work of Cameron and Lara Blair and Fiona and Joseph Ratandando among refugees here in Sydney. We'll also pray for the work of hospital chaplains with Anglicare, in particular the Reverend David Anthonez at Concord Hospital. Well, before we begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will the Lord be with you and also with you. God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." But we fail to honor him and respond to his love for us. So recognizing our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God speaks to us through his word and guides us by his Spirit. Let me pray now for the hearing of God's word. Gracious Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures, their precepts, promises, directions, and light. In them may we learn of Christ. Amen. Well, Janice is going to come now and read to us our three Bible readings set for us today. Thanks, Janice.
Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. King Darius then issued an order, and they searched in the archives stored in the treasury at Babylon. A scroll was found in the citadel of Ecbatana in the province of Media, and this was written on it. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of God in Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt, as a place to present sacrifices, and let its foundations be laid. It is to be 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Also, the gold and silver articles in the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, are to be returned to their places in the temple in Jerusalem. They are to be deposited in the house of God. Now then, Tattenai, governor general of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of this house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house and they are to be impaled on it. And for this crime, their house is to be made a pile of rubble. May God, who has caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts a hand to change this decree or to destroy this temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. The second reading is from Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 to 19. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Our final reading this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What is it that we believe with all Christians everywhere down through the ages? Well, let's say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. Would you please stand? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles now to our two Bible readings, the one from Ezra chapter 6 and the other from Haggai chapter 2 verses 10 through to 19. We left last week at the end of chapter 5 of Ezra. Let me help you remember. After 15 years of opposition and no new word from God, the people had given up, turned to satisfying their own interests, and work on the temple stopped. Then God spoke again to the people through the prophet Haggai. He questions why they haven't trusted God at his word, why he would think that he would want them to stop work on the temple. He calls upon them to return to building the temple, and so with a newfound enthusiasm, the people of God returned to work. Their enthusiasm did not go unnoticed by the governing authorities responsible to King Darius of Persia. Verses 3 to 17 of chapter 5. They questioned the legitimacy for building the temple. Work on the temple looked as if it would once again be forced to stop. But sensibility prevailed, and by the grace of God, calmly and courageously, God's people gave clarity to his purpose for them building this temple, and it was conveyed in a letter by the governing authorities to the king. Confirmation as to their authority was sought. It went well for God's people. As they waited, work on the temple was allowed to continue, and chapter 5 ended with God's people now waiting for a reply. We were reminded last week, as we thought on this, that a gentle and respectful reason when asked for the hope we profess is wisdom. In 1 Peter 3 verse 15 we read, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect." It must have been an unsettling time for God's people as they waited. I guess, if not at all, were fearful of the king not finding Cyrus's decree, or worse still, not bothering to look, or that they would hear back from his decree to stop all work on the temple. It must have been unsettling for them while they waited. We're not told, but we would hope that they were patient and that they were prayerful, trusting that the eye of God continued to watch over them. I hope that we likewise, as we wait for an end to lockdown and a return to what we once knew as normal, that we're being patient and prayerful, trusting that the eye of God watches over us. Well, as God's people waited for the king's reply, you remember God raised up his prophet Haggai to speak to the people again. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. You may remember his word gave insight into God's big plan for the temple and his people. God spoke through Haggai of a future focus and purpose for the temple in the sending of the Messiah. Look there, back at verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the Lord, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Though this temple looks much smaller than the first, God himself would visit this temple in his Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God's glory would fill it. Haggai's sermon turned their eyes from the present uncertainty that they were going through to the future reality. God motivated his people to see purpose in their work, motivation to go on, and reason for not giving up. We know that the Messiah did come, and he has come, and will come again. This past and future reality and our present uncertainty motivates us to see purpose in our work for God, motivation to go on, and reason for not giving up. Well, in Ezra chapter 6 and verses 10 to 19 of Haggai 2, we pick up from where we left off last week. News comes back from Darius, king of Persia, and it's good news. In fact, it's great news, more than what I think they anticipated. But we shouldn't be surprised. We know God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. The scroll is found, verses 1 to 6. Authority is confirmed and news returns with permission to keep on building. But not only permission, but provision and protection. Look there at verses 6 to 12. Now then, Tatanai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethbazana, and you, other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work of this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews. In the construction of this house of God, their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Moreover, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house and they are to be impaled on it, and for this crime their house is to be made a pile of rubble. May God, who has caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts a hand to change this decree or to destroy this temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. Well, obviously, God's people are greatly encouraged at the news and all the more motivated to go on building the temple. Who wouldn't be? Wasn't God good? Wasn't King Darius generous? Wow. And even wants them to pray for him and his sons. I agree, though. You wouldn't want to be someone who defied his edict, though. Now, you get a kind of sense here that the people of God must have sighed a great sigh of relief on hearing the news. They must have been so thankful to God for answered prayer and so grateful to King Darius for provision and protection. And this is the reason for why I included the last of our readings from 1 Timothy. To not see those who govern us as enemies or always opposing the work of God, but according to the scriptures, servants of God for our good, who we should pray for. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1-4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Obviously, God's people were greatly encouraged from the news from King Darius and all the more motivated to work on the temple and finish what God wanted them to do. But God knew what these people were like. And if we recall what we've read of these people so far, we know what they were like too. He knew they were still sinners. Their past failures were proof of failure in the future. So 2 months later, after hearing the good news, well on into completing the temple, God raises up Haggai again to speak once more to his people, to warn but also to encourage them. Look there at verses 10 to 19 of chapter 2 of Haggai. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priests replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. I hear you. What does Haggai mean by this? What's he saying? He's saying human nature is such that it is by far easier to sin and cause for ourselves and others to sin than it is to not. One can't impart magically holiness to another, but one defiled will defile another. In God's sight, these people by nature were defiled, sinners. Their past failures, proof. Haggai's warning was from verse 15. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? God knew what these people were like. He knew they were sinners and would still sin. He knew that being blessed by God with the news from Darius, that they may well forget, as they had in the past, to show their gratitude by staying obedient. Pride comes before a fall, the proverb reminds us, Proverbs 16, verse 18. If they don't give careful thought to their ways and keep at living lives in all godliness and holiness, they were prone to sin. They will once more find themselves affecting not only themselves but everyone else, and sliding so easily into unsatisfying circumstances of life that are of their own doing. I guess we must be careful also. We are to be careful also. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the scriptures tell us. And the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 verse, chapter 1 verse 8. And all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23. God knows what people are like too. Though saved by Christ, he knows we still sin. If we don't give careful thought to our ways and keep living out our lives in all godliness and holiness, we find ourselves too sliding so easily into unsatisfying circumstances of life that are of our own doing. But with the warning of God came also an encouragement to God's people. It appears that they have given careful thought to their ways, returning and walking closely with the Lord, and that work on the temple will prosper. Look there at verse 19 of Haggai chapter 2. Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Likewise for us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and from that day on will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, mindful of what we've learned from God and his people, let's finish with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Let me pray. Teach us, O gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence, to go on in obedience and to finish them with love, and then wait patiently in hope and with cheerful countenance to look up to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let us pray. Let us spend a little time talking with our Lord together. And so I invite Rosemary now to lead us in a time of prayer. Thanks, Rosemary.
The Lord be with you. Psalm 73 reminds us, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Let us pray that God will increase our faith and bring to perfection the gifts he has given us. Almighty God, every good gift comes from you. Fill our hearts with love for you, increase our faith, and by your constant care, preserve us in the good that you have given us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we offer. We give you thanks for our worldwide church, for the faithfulness of your people in every land and the unity we share through your Son Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. We pray for those who have been sent out as your missionaries here and abroad, and we especially bring before you the work of the Retinandos and Blairs as they minister to refugees here in Sydney. We uphold the work of the Anglican Church of Australia, this diocese, Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our regional bishop, this parish of Abbotsford Anglican, and our minister Trevor. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. A prayer for Afghanistan. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, we pray today for peace. Have mercy on our broken and divided world and banish the spirit that makes for war. We ask that leaders of nations and governments will pursue freedom, justice and the welfare of all people. We pray especially for all affected by the turmoil and tragic events in Afghanistan. Help the leaders of nations to protect the vulnerable and to establish justice and peace. Restrain the forces of evil and protect men and especially women and children from Taliban forces. We also pray for Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Preserve their lives and strengthen their witness in this land of deep spiritual darkness and despair. We pray for Afghan refugees who have managed to escape the turmoil, for those who have made Australia their home, and for those who are anxious about family in Afghanistan. Comfort them, we pray, and may they know the hope and peace that is found in our Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for the veterans of our Defence Force who have served in Afghanistan and their families. Sustain these men and women who have served our country. May they receive the care and support they need at this time of disappointment and discouragement. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good and to serve with justice the resources of this earth. Heavenly Father, in an uncertain world, please turn the hearts of all your people to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the peace that passes all understanding. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we come before you with aching hearts. Father, we live in this beautiful world, but it is damaged by our sin and we need you. The coronavirus is spreading so quickly, so far and wide. Please contain the virus. Give your wisdom, energy and perseverance to the testing and contact tracing teams, our leaders making decisions that have such a huge impact on our community. We especially pray for our leaders at this time, for Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, and Gladys Berejiklian, our Health Minister Brad Hazzard and Chief Health Officer Kerry Chant. Please also protect our workers in essential services. We pray for our teachers, the police, those in aged care, doctors, nurses, paramedics, retail workers, and we pray that as the stress and anxiety of patients and hospital workers increase, we bring before you the work of our hospital chaplains, particularly David Antony's at Concord Hospital. Uphold them when their spirits and energy levels lag and anxiety rises. Where there are Christians in these roles, may they be your instruments of peace, showing constant love and kindness, ever ready to give a reason for the hope that they have in you. We pray for those who are fearful, those living in abusive relationships or with serious financial challenges, those who are lonely, isolated, sick, in pain, or those who are grieving. By your presence, protection and provision, please bring them to your peace. We commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours, and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you, Lord God, for your faithful servants in every age, and ask that we may share with them Christ's resurrection glory through his death and rising again for our salvation. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But sadly, due to being in a pandemic and the lockdown, we cannot meet, partake, and remember as we used to together. However, spiritually, we can do so individually or with these living with us in our homes with bread, wine, or grape juice, or by remembering without. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in Christ. As we share bread and wine together physically, distance, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As we do, we are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. Come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way, and let us pray together. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord who's always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you. and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share. Savior Jesus Christ tore for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one.
Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I trust you are keeping safe in lockdown and keeping well. Thank you for keeping in touch with different people, family, friends, and amongst ourselves as well. I do hope that you can join me tonight and many others and others tonight at 5 through to 6 o'clock on that Zoom link that Jenna sent to you on Friday. It's been a good time just to catch up with people and to say hello and see them through the screen, though not face to face. As we go, we remember that salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honour, power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.